Wonderful to see everyone out this evening. It's always wonderful to be able to come together, study God's Word as we have this opportunity to do so. Hope that everybody's doing well this evening. Hope everybody's been edified as we've gone throughout a few hymns already and through our prayer. A lot has gone on as we continue to live our lives upon this earth. A lot continues to go on. And dealing with neighbors, dealing with enemies, dealing with brethren, dealing with focusing on politics or anything into that point, a lot continues to come down upon us. And we've been warned time and again as Christians that it's not an easy path. That Jesus has told us that blessed is he who is persecuted in my name's sake. I've been warned in Matthew 7 and verses 13 and 14, they are going forth and telling us to enter that narrow and difficult path. And so life as a Christian certainly isn't easy, never was, never will be. Sometimes we get sought looking to and seeing that there were maybe easier times than others, and especially as we compare where we are today in this country compared to what we read in the Bible, but then we can compare it to other countries and see how things are going there. And what I want to talk about this evening, title of the lesson is, if we don't fight for our morals today, where will they be tomorrow? If we don't stand up for God today and what is right today, then how much further will the world continue to go? And just a point that we can get caught up in saying, even where we are now compared to a few years back, how much has changed? And I know we can continue to look further back and further back and do the same thing. But then we get all the way back to the Bible and ask, well, where are we compared to that? I just want to look at a few points this evening and see that there is a need for us to stand up, to teach our neighbors, to teach one another, to do the right thing when we have the opportunity to vote, to stand for what is right, lest things continue to get worse. And so first point I want to look at is public and political issues, points that the world is continuously pushing. Now, I'm just bringing out a few points this evening, not going into a whole lot, but just a few points to get our minds thinking and understanding that they are continuously pushing on these things. And some people, the reason you want to bring it up is because some will say, well, you know, it could be worse. A lot of times we get caught up in that idea, is it could be worse. And that's the point I want to make, is yes, it could be worse. And if we don't stand for the Word of God today, if we don't stand for what is right today, it's going to get worse. It's going to continue to go down this line. It's going to continue to get worse because we can see that it is worse other places. We can see that it has been worse in the past in different places. And if we don't stand for what is right, if we don't do our part and hopefully help it to turn around, then it's going to get worse. And there's a reason that we need to be zeal and passionate and eager to go and do the good things that need to be done. And first thing to bring out is that they're continuously pushing on homosexuality. And again, you know, I really didn't want to throw political up there, but it is a political issue, but at the same time, it's a religious issue. At the same time, it's an issue that we can get caught up in talking about our schools, and we can get caught up about our neighbors, and we can get talked about, it's just an issue, period. It's something that if you are religious, then it is an issue because we have book, chapter, and verse to look at to see that we have a point of view, that God has told us how we should believe and how we should feel about this. And so Romans chapter 1 and verse 26 and 27 says, "For this reason, God gave them up to vile passions, for even their women exchanged the natural use for what is against nature. Likewise also, the men leaving the natural use of the women burned in their lust for one another, men with men committing what is shameful and receiving in themselves the penalty of the error which was due." And so here we see again that God has set a path. And again, I've done a lesson not too long ago on homosexuality and transgenderness. And so I'm not going to do a full lesson here, just looking at one verse. But if you desire it, I can find that and share that with you. But here we see God has a way in which he's designed mankind. We go back to Genesis 1 and look at God creating man and woman. He created us a certain way. God looked at Adam as he was in the garden, said it is not good that man should be alone. And why? Because the temptations that was going to come upon him, man with man, man with animals. And therefore he created woman to help him. And so here we see that God has a view, and therefore we have a view that we should see, that we should have upon this issue. But if we just take the step back and say, well, you know, we should just let them have this. It's not really that big of an issue. It doesn't have anything to do with me. It doesn't change my faith. I still believe it's wrong, but, you know, we let them do what they want to do. Let them be happy. And again, there's so many things we can get caught up in focusing on. You know, how often do we get caught up in trying to say, well, you know, politics should get in to the point that people shouldn't be drunk anymore. You know, alcohol and drunkenness is something in the Word of God. We don't even fight about that. You know, yes, we'll teach about drunkenness, but we don't say that they should be outlawed like drugs. And yet, again, it's something that causes great damage and goes off the air end. But that's because we've ignored the issue. It's no longer that big of a problem. And we don't think it's an issue. And abortion. How long till it's not brought up anymore? That it's no longer anything to be voted on because they've gone so far down the deep end that there's nothing. Nothing. And we get caught up in that, well, there's nothing I can do. There's nothing that we can do to stop. And sometimes it feels like that. But do we give up on the Word of God? In Proverbs chapter 6, if you turn along with me there. Proverbs chapter 6. Proverbs chapter 6. Look along with me in verse 16. Proverbs 6 and verse 16. It says, how much better to get wisdom than gold? I'm in chapter 16. Let me get to chapter 6. Proverbs 6 and verse 16, it says, these six things the Lord hates, yes, seven are an abomination to him, a proud look, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood. And of course, we can go and bring up other verses, and we go to the Ten Commandments and see that God hates murder, that we shall not murder. Hands that shed innocent blood, and what's more innocent than a babe that hasn't been born? That is completely to the mercy of its mother. A newborn babe, a babe that hasn't been innocent one. God speaking here, and of course we know that God is the one that creates us, that gives us life. Again, going back to Genesis, we could obviously see that He created us. He breathed breath, gave us the breath of life. He gave that to Adam. We come over here to Psalm 139 and verse 13. Psalm 139 and verse 13. It says, for you formed my inward parts, you covered me in my mother's womb. Again, God has created life. And yet, mankind today is saying it's not life. They're going against what is natural. They're going against what's scientific. And they continue to try to go off and go at deeper and deeper on this far side. And yet, again, how often do we stand against it? How often do we preach against it? Do we stand for what is right? Do we try to get out there if there's opportunity to vote on something on? Or do we ignore the issue? Has it become so public that there's no longer anything to say about it? Again, the whole lesson is not focused on that one. We could have another full lesson just on that. We get caught up in just our religion and being free to speak, free to preach what we believe in, free to go and have a home Bible study, free to go and teach the Word of God anywhere, anytime we want. To stand for what is right. Again, preaching on homosexuality, preaching on abortion, preaching on divorce, to be able to preach on drunkenness. The freedom to do these things, because God has commanded us to do these things. God has commanded us to go out in Matthew chapter 28. Matthew 28, verse 18, where it says, and Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of age. Amen. Go and teach. Go and make disciples. Stand for what is right. In 1 Peter 3, in verse 15. 1 Peter 3, and in verse 15. If you turn along with me here. Here it says, and sanctify. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts. And always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you a reason for the hope that is in you with meekness and fear, having a good conscience, that when they defame you as evildoers, those who revile your good conduct in Christ may be ashamed. I'll give you an example, a point that just came up while I was up in Indiana with my family. I had time to ride along with my brother-in-law. And he works for the prison. And he's got a good position. And yet, an issue has already just come up that goes under this. Ready to give a defense for your faith. Ready to give an answer for when someone asks you a question. So someone else who works there is caught up in homosexuality. And so he has brought up anything up, but people know the way he acts, and by others asking questions before him, know that he is religious. Knows that he has a faith. And so this person pointedly, you know, brought up a question that wasn't focused on this yet, and he answered that question. It wasn't a big issue or anything. And then she goes, "Well, then what do you think about my situation?" He goes, "I don't think, you know, unless you really want me to answer that, unless you want to know what I believe, I can't answer that. Unless you want to know." And she tried to word it just so much. He's like, "Do you want to know what I believe? You know, this is something you have to say you want to know." And so eventually he gave the answer. But he told me, "This is the first time that I'm kind of scared for giving an answer and standing up for the Word of God. Because what if she changes that on him, brings it to someone higher than him, and now he's got to deal with his company?" Again, that's the way the system is going. That if we don't stand up for what is right today, then they're going to come after us for standing for what we believe in the Word of God. We have to be willing to go and fight the good fight. Again, Ephesians 6, we don't fight against flesh and blood. We have a faith that we are to fight with, though. We do have an armor of God that we are to put on, because the world is out there continuously changing what is supposed to be good, trying to change it to their own way. Isaiah chapter 5 and verse 20. Isaiah chapter 5 and verse 20 says, "Woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who put darkness for light and light for darkness, who put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter." And that's the way the world is going. They are trying to change everything. They're trying to make good bad and bad good. My next and only point that I want to bring out tonight is look at a few examples of how bad things could be. And this is just looking to the Bible. I'm not going to be bringing out other examples that we can look at other countries and see how far off they are. Just look to the Bible. Look in the Word of God and see if we don't stand for what is right, how fast and how far the world can go. Turn along to Genesis chapter 19. We look at Sodom and Gomorrah. Genesis 19, and another example, as we've already here at Southside, or Westside, has studied. We went through the book of Judges, and as we went through the book of Judges, I brought out the point that this is probably the hardest part for me to read through, the most disturbing part, to see how far mankind can go. Because as you read in these situations, in Genesis 19 and verses 4 and 5, as the two angels have come into the city, Lot has brought them into their house, and it says, "Now before they lay down, the men of the city, the men of Sodom, both old and young, all the people from every quarter surrounded the house, and they called to Lot and said to him, 'Where are the men who came to you tonight? Bring them out to us that we may know them carnally.'" They come and say, "Let them out of the house so we can do them harm." Same thing in Judges. A Levite and his concubine are traveling. And they decide not to stay with foreigners in some country. They say, "No, we're going to stay with Israelites. We're going to stay with our brethren, those who should be serving God." Should be serving God. When they get there, no place for them to stay until an old man comes along, sees them sitting there in the middle, says, "Come to my house." In the same situation, here come all the men, come around, banging on the door, say, "Let them out so I may know him carnally." Ends up leaving his concubine outside. And they abused her until the morning. And as the Levite was leaving, she could not get up, she had died. You want to ask how bad we can get, how far, you know, transgenderment, homosexuality, what's the next thing? How bad can it go? How far will people go? We sit here and say, well, it's not that bad. It's going to get worse. And it can get a whole lot worse if we don't stand for what is right. What direction are we heading? In 2 Kings chapter 6 and verse 28, another one that I just cringe in trying to read. 2 Kings chapter 6, and in verse 28, it says, "Then the king said to her, 'What is troubling you?' And she answered, 'This woman said to me, give your son that we may eat him today, and we will eat my son tomorrow.' So we boiled my son, ate him. And I said to her on the next day, 'Give your son so that we may eat him.' But she has hidden her son." Understand what the woman is complaining about. She's not complaining they ate her son. She's complaining that she can't eat someone else's son. That's how far they had gotten. It wasn't a complaint that they ate her own child. Understand how bad it can get. Again, it tells us to appreciate where we are, but think how far we've already come. And if we don't try to do something to stop it, to go back, then how far we can go. We have to be standing, willing to stand for what is right. To fight the good fight, to stand for the truth. Look at the example of our Lord and Savior. The elders and the priests convinced the mob, the crowd that was there, to take a thief and murderer over an innocent man. Whether or not they believe that Jesus was the Son of God, they know that he was an innocent person. They know that he had not killed anybody. They know that he had not went forth and stolen anything. This was a known thief and murderer. And the chief priest and the elders called for Barabbas and then got the crowd to shout, "Crucify him, crucify him." Again, how far we can go. How far religious people can go if we don't stand up for what is right. Genesis chapter 6. Genesis chapter 6 and in verse 5 says, "Then the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually." You have to sit back and ask, how far away are we from that? That the intent of man's heart is just continuously evil. Continuously. We know that God has set a day aside to destroy this world and to judge us. But until that day comes, we have to be willing to stand for what is right, willing to do our part to shine His light. I often get caught up in thinking about Sodom and Gomorrah when Abraham was able to talk to the Lord. And wonder, maybe that's something like the situation. You know, there's no way of telling, but I always just picture it that way for some reason. And the mindset of Abraham starting off with this higher number. If there is this many that are righteous, will you say? He drops down, you know, let's go 30, 20. How many righteous are in the world today? Can't tell you. Can't number them. God knows. Again, we can't get caught up in believing we're alone. Again, last week we had our gospel meeting. It was so wonderful to have visitors. We have visitors tonight. It's always encouraging. Always encouraging to have visitors. We're not fighting alone. But we have to let them know that also. We get encouragement from one another. We have to stand and fight, do our part to help each other to continue down that right path, lest we go so far away from our God. I don't want to leave without extending the invitation this evening to any who have the desire to obey the gospel. Again, what comes from delaying, of doing what needs to be done, of being baptized to wash your sins away? It comes from delaying another day and then another day, and then you get in the habit of just pushing it off, and then you just don't think about it. And then it's too late. And if it's too late, then you have to face that judgment of God. Give an account for your choice. So we encourage you to obey the gospel this evening. If you have obeyed the gospel, you need the prayers of the congregation. If there's anything we can do for you, you let it be known as we stand and sing.
I would love to tell you what I think of Jesus. Since I found in him a friend so strong and true, I will tell you how he changed my life completely. He did something that no other friend could do. No one ever